Welcome to More Access to Now. And today I'm going to be talking about have a temper tantrum and be happy. And I was thinking about this. It really is my intention with my Access to Now program and my More Access to Now talks is I really hope to convey to you all that effortless momentum really is possible and simple to achieve. With More Access to Now, I really try hard to pick topics that, in my experience, really get to the nitty-gritty of making meaningful permanent change. And I like to give you simple and easy action steps to get into that effortless momentum. And for those of you who are grads to my Access to Now program, you know that the tools you've learned there help put any kind of easy action step I give you on steroids. So thank you, everyone, for joining me today. So today I'm going to talk about how having a temper tantrum will lead to happiness. But first I need to talk to you about the concept of emotional resilience. Emotional resilience is essentially, it's our ability to weather the storms and challenges in our lives. And it's basically how much spring in your step do you have after you experience something challenging. And there are 9 components to emotional resilience. And if you're following along in the notes, you can see that on the umbrella slide. Some of them are like social connection, sense of humor, perseverance, optimism. So the good news is that research tells us that 50% of our resilience is in our genes, which means that you already come wired 50% good at it. And that 50% that you're good at is different for different people. And improving the other 50% is actually quite easy. This is why emotional resilience is one of those nitty-gritty topics I talk about. And I also have a quiz that helps identify where you're rocking it, your emotional resilience, and where you need improvement. And you can reach out, email me, and I'm happy to pass that along and we can talk about it. So even better news, as I've been giving out that quiz for a while, I've noticed that most people I work with are usually doing pretty good and in their emotional resilience and could really just use improvement in anywhere from 2 to 4 of the categories or components. So even though you might be really good, improving those areas that you can is like adding rocket fuel to your car. It's amazing. So today I'm going to talk about the component of emotional resilience that is at the center of them all, and it's emotional awareness. Simply put, emotional awareness is that you understand what you're feeling and why, and then you can make empowered choices on how to deal with it. Feel my feelings, you ask. I literally hear the groans out there. And here's the good news. If you need to enhance this component of emotional resilience, today I'm going to show you a simple and easy way to start doing it. Feeling your feelings doesn't mean you have to turn into a bitch or a mess. Allowing yourself to feel emotions appropriate to a situation, whether or not they are pleasant emotions, is a key to long-lasting happiness. So in a moment, I'm going to touch on the 5 basic feelings, and then I'm going to do a deeper dive into the emotion of anger. And then finally, I'm going to talk about how the benefits of feeling your anger and letting yourself have a temper tantrum is essential to your happiness. So feelings are our life force. Feelings are what pulls us into connecting in a much deeper way to ourselves and others. Feelings give us direction about our wants, our needs, desires, and passions. That umbrella slide shows how emotional awareness is the basis for being good at all of the emotionally resilient components. So if you worked with me any length of time or heard any other calls, I tell people, this is true, there are 5 basic emotions. Mad, sad, glad, scared, and bad. And that bad feeling is we tease out what's guilt and what's shame, and that's a whole different talk. If you happen to listen to my last talk, The Power of Preferences, I talk about the difference between guilt and shame. So think of feelings like they're the warning lights on your car's dashboard. These feelings are meant to be an early warning system to let you know that something needs attention. And if you pay attention when you first notice the light on your dashboard, it's usually a simple fix. Ignore the light and the problem gets bigger. Same with your emotions. So my trusty assistant is pointing out that if you have the notes for today's call, I also attached a feelings chart that you can print out that's just a feelings chart, and it's bigger and it might be easier for you to read. And also, I'm going to speak to it right now. So looking at that chart, whether it's on the slide or you've printed it out, look at the feelings in the mad category. What you can do, especially if you print out this feelings chart, is you can use it to remind yourself to play detective and identify when you're feeling any version of angry. And you can use it to check on all the emotions, if you like. Just keep it top of mind. What am I feeling? Because you can't change or transform feelings if you don't notice them. And if you notice on the feelings chart, I have it in columns, and the low-level feelings are on the left side, and your more intense version of the feeling is over on the right side. So what I find that's common in my practice is that people are feeling low-level feelings and putting up with that. So putting up with irritation, annoyance in the anger category, and you might be putting up with some other kind of low-level feelings. That's really important because you need to be aware and not just put up with those low-level feelings so that you can change them. But today I'm going to focus on the mad category. In anger, I'm going to focus on anger and its connection to happiness. So angry is one of those feeling words that goes in the mad category. And there are a lot of different ways to identify when you're feeling angry. And let's talk about body sensations for anger. And then just kind of scan this. Notice what your bodily sensations for angry is. If not, just give yourself permission to start playing detective this week if it's something that you need improvement on. So it's common to feel angry in your head, back of your neck, shoulders, arms, hands. Angry may feel like throbbing temples, clenched jaw, tension in your shoulders. I have one person who, in dealing with anger, he's just now noticing that he clenches his fists when he's feeling angry, and that's his barometer because he didn't even know he was doing that. Angry might also feel like you're constantly irritable or in a bad mood. Here's an interesting thing. There is a small population that expresses anger through crying. Quite a few people cry when they're angry, and this can be confusing. So if you're someone, just notice that and normalize it, because not all crying is sad. Sometimes crying can be angry. So anger can be caused by many things. Anger is a natural reaction to being wronged or seeing someone else being wronged. It's also a natural reaction to being dissatisfied with some aspect of your life. You can also become angry because of environmental reasons, stress, financial issues, feeling trapped by circumstances, conflict in a close relationship. And when your schedule is overwhelmed, when you are feeling overwhelmed, that can also contribute to the formation of anger. So let me talk about a couple of different forms of unhealthy anger. The two most common forms that I see of unhealthy anger or suppressed anger are our suppressed anger and misdirected anger. So indirect expression of anger is called passive aggressive. And passive aggressive means that instead of confronting a person and a problem directly, you do something negative to hint at the problem in hopes the other person will get it. You're either hoping that they'll get it, or it also might be a way, passive-aggressive might be a way that you express your anger. So for instance, if you're bickering with your husband, and this is one I do, and you leave the room before he can answer you. That's passive aggressive. A classic one is if your husband annoys you and you burn his toast. I the only reason I don't do that one is because I don't cook. Excuse me. Someone upsets you, so you punish them with silence. That's passive aggressive. Your boss gives you a project and you think it's unfair, so you procrastinate on getting it done. That's also passive aggressive. So some other forms of passive aggressive behavior include sarcasm, eye rolling. Everyone on the call, eye rolling. Even if you roll your eyes internally, that is a symptom of being passive aggressive. Avoiding, feigning, forgetfulness is a form of passive aggressive. And like I said, procrastination. These can all be symptoms of suppressed anger. So another type of suppressed anger are those people who are Pollyanna. And it's the most suppressed form of anger. And these are people who are so disconnected that they bury their anger and emotions under the mask of peace and love. So another type of unhealthy anger is misdirected anger. And you can misdirect anger towards yourself and towards others. So when you are misdirecting anger towards yourself, it can look like overeating, especially sugary and fatty foods. It can look like self-criticism, consistently blaming your frustrations on disappointments, on your own shortcomings. And this is really dangerous because it really can create a sense of hopelessness about the future. Some other classic ways of misdirecting your anger is when you're angry at something and you kick the dog or you yell at your spouse or your kids. And unhealthy anger, the suppressed anger, has really severe consequences. It does damage your mental and your physical health, and it can damage your relationships. Over a long period of time, suppressed anger takes its toll on the body and can cause high blood pressure, insomnia, heart problems, and possibly cancer, among many other ailments. In the movie Manhattan, starring Woody Allen, Woody Allen's character says, "I don't get angry, I grow a tumor." And there's truth in that. The truth is that all emotions affect the body when they're suppressed. However, anger is particularly damaging because of the colossal energy that goes into this emotion. So anger turned inward can also cause depression and feeling hopeless about the future. And it definitely robs us of self-confidence, self-worth, and it can lead to feelings of shame and self-recrimination. It damages relationships because those built-up resentments can erode trust and intimacy in a relationship. All right, so once you've identified your anger and decide that you want to react in a healthy way because you know it's going to lead to happiness, you can get to healthy anger by having what I'm calling a temper tantrum. So let's talk a little bit about how healthy tantrums are essential and can lead to happiness. There are 5 positive outcomes to having a healthy temper tantrum. So if you're looking at the slides, notice all those black umbrellas? Let these represent your suppressed anger or the tantrums that you need to have, your unhealthy anger. Now you see that rainbow umbrella? That umbrella, that represents the 9 components of your emotional resilience. And remember the handle? It's the foundation of emotional resilience, your ability to recognize your emotions. Hold on tight to that umbrella, feel your anger, and react to it in a healthy way, and you can have a healthy tantrum. The benefit of that is anger is a motivating force. Anger itself is a kind of positive energy and a powerful motivating force. Research shows that anger can push us towards our goals and face problems and barriers. It can be used to strengthen your commitment to a greater good for yourself or for society. In the simplest sense, anger may be one of the reasons why we no longer have segregated water fountains. It's why someone chooses to end a deadening career or why a person leaves an unhealthy relationship. Secondly, angry people tend to be more optimistic and self-confident. That might sound like an odd thing to say, But angry people have something in common with happy people, and that's because they both tend to be more optimistic. Because they use anger as a passionate life force for change, and they believe the future can change, and that gives them optimism. They feel more in control and self-confident. Anger can benefit relationships and lead to enhanced intimacy. Remember, anger is a natural reaction to being wronged by someone else, by feeling wronged by someone else. And healthy anger, which is assertive communication, is a great way of communicating what you need or what you want. The problem in a relationship is when you hide your anger. Whether it's from your spouse or in business, people don't know that they've done something wrong or let you down. And so they keep doing it. Healthy temper tantrums can provide self-insight. Anger can also provide insight into ourselves if you allow it. It provides insight into our own shortcomings and limitations. If you notice when you get angry and why, you can learn to improve your life. So anger can motivate self-change. It gets you clarity about what's working in your life and what's not, so that you can make empowered choices to change what you're dissatisfied with. Finally, healthy tantrums can be an antidote to anxiety and depression. Because when you learn to operate from healthy anger, you feel more in control and self-confident, and it lessens anxiety. And remember I said anger turned inward can lead to depression. So getting it out in a healthy way is absolutely an antidote to depression. So now you know the benefits of a healthy tantrum, let me tell you how to have one. And this is something that you're going to do. I really hope you make time for this after the call or sometime during your week. And do it more than once. So here's what you need to do. You'll need to have pen and paper, or if you're someone who likes to journal or write things down in a Word document, that's fine too. Give yourself about a half an hour of private, safe, alone time. Have a pillow handy, or better yet, a big, ugly plush toy. And know that this exercise is just for you. You're not sending it to anybody, and you're not going to share it. So then I want you to think of a time, you know, one of those black umbrellas, think of a time when you got angry and it's still unresolved for you. Access to Now Grads, before you do this, clear your mental desktop. And for those of you who are not grads of Access to Now, just before you journal, take a few minutes and do whatever practice that you need to do that settles you. All right, so step one, write down what happened. Dive into the memory. Write about that situation when you got hurt. You might have felt violated, betrayed, ignored, defeated, disrespected, left out, judged, something was unfair or you were underappreciated. Dive into that and let yourself have those feelings. Then the next step is, who did it? Who was involved? How did they do it? And the who did it also may involve you. So when you're clear on that, step three, and this is the intense one, is you let rip your opinion. Forget about the rules. You're allowed to say whatever you want. You can swear. Don't worry about grammar. And you let out all of that ugliness out onto paper. No one's going to see it, and you're going to feel prettier. And so even if it's towards yourself, let yourself ferret out all those self-judgments. Write them down. Give your inner critic permission to just let it out. Here's also something that is provocative. This might be the time where you might involve God in your temper tantrum. And what I mean by that is sometimes anger is just circumstantial. When you're doing everything right, you're doing everything that's in your control, and things are just not going your way. Maybe you're not getting the clients you want, making the money you want, finding that love in life. And there's nothing to be angry at yourself about because you're doing everything right, and there's no person to be angry about. And that's why I want you to consider having that temper tantrum with God. It's really edgy, but it's super healing. Because having a temper tantrum with God, expressing your anger, disappointment, confusion, your dismay, the benefit of that is you're not turning it inward. You're not judging yourself or wondering what's wrong with you. Other benefits of letting yourself have a temper tantrum with God is that it brings you clarity and maybe even feeling closer to your spiritual practice. If you are someone who has a strong relationship with God, whatever that means to you, you may hear God talk back and get clarity about the situation and see new options or have renewed hope or optimism. Okay, so now you've unleashed all of that blah onto paper in step three. Maybe had a temper tantrum with God. You take a deep breath and move on to step four. So what did this cost you? What did you lose in this event? What did it prevent you from doing or having? What did you have to give up? It could have been a literal loss of something that you're angry about, a promotion, an opportunity. It could be an intangible loss of your own self-esteem. And as you're looking at what something cost you, and even as you're unleashing those opinions, you may notice that your brain starts to go to the silver lining of the experience. And that's okay, because that's the next step in healing. But I want you to just come back and not do that prematurely and stick with whatever the cost is from this event. All right, so now you've done steps one through four, and you're clear. You've let go of a lot of intensity. You're clear on what it cost you. So here's where the pillow or the ugly animal comes into play. Because anger's first response in the body is to attack. And since you most likely didn't attack a person, and we don't want you to hold grudges against someone or turn it inward, that energy still may be accumulated inside of you, and especially still accumulated inside of you if you've turned it inward. Physically release that energy. Throw the pillow, punch the pillow, scream, kick the pillow, whatever it is that you need to do to physically release the energy. That's the point of this step. All right. So when you've done that step, just take a deep breath, gather yourself, and now it's time for step six, which is self-care. So this is time to be kind to yourself. You may have had a role in the conflict. You may be angry or disappointed with yourself that you didn't remove yourself from the situation earlier. Maybe there were some red flags, but you ignored them. This is where self-care is. Release the blame. Don't blame yourself. This is a moment when you can start forgiving yourself. Spend a lot of time on this self-care step. Be kind to yourself. By now, you're probably feeling a bit better. My Access to Now grads, remind yourself that you're safe here and now in this moment. Bring your attention to your heart area. Do what you need to do to create a feeling of comfort, love, and compassion. Give yourself. It might even organically come to you that you forgive the person. You can find a path to forgiveness for the person that you felt wronged by. No matter if you just forgive yourself or have the strength to forgive others, this is an act of self-care. Do it for yourself, for your peace of mind, for your health, Step seven. So now from this calmer, more grounded place, you're going to create new agreements with yourself. Take a look again at whatever happened then. How could this part of your life, this situation, be handled better? What was your responsibility? Simply, what lessons did you learn about yourself or clarity about the other person? So now in this moment, you can be proactive. So take responsibility. Step into a more powerful version of you. make a promise to yourself that this won't happen again to you. Make a list here. What is the strategy or change that you need to make so that this doesn't happen again? It might be that you need to polish up on assertive communication. It might just be enough that you recognize that you might have some clarity on some difficult people in your life or what circumstance needs to change for you. It might be time management because you're just not willing to feel this overwhelmed by your schedule. So now you're getting clear on the new terms of dealing with similar situations in the future. You're getting an idea on your emotional and physical boundaries that you're willing to set for the future. So here's a time, too, to own your positives. What skills are you going to bring to this new pact that you're making with yourself? What skills do you have? What superpowers do you bring to the new lesson, to this new agreement? And jot down that agreement with yourself. Visualize yourself living according to your new rules. Keep this page of what you've done. Read the rest or delete the rest. And that is how you have a healthy temper tantrum. You know, while I can't take questions on this call, you all know about Comfy Chair Coaching. If you have any questions about healthy temper tantrums, shoot me an email and sign up for Comfy Chair. That'd be great. I really encourage you all to be brave and give this exercise a try. It really has amazing benefits. All right. So how does this lead to happiness? So the anger storm has passed. You've picked the rainbow umbrella. Yay, you! Celebrate your courage and celebrate the new agreements you've made with yourself. Can you see how doing this exercise can lead to letting go of pent-up, unresolved anger? And by letting go of that unresolved anger, you get perspective on the situation. You are going to feel proud of yourself, more inspired to take better care of yourself, especially when you feel angry. And you're going to feel more self-confident to communicate your anger in a healthy way, assertively, not passive-aggressive or aggressive. So feeling proud of yourself, more self-confident, lighter, happier, who doesn't want that? And you can get all of that from having a healthy temper tantrum. So I hope today I've conveyed that anger is just simply a passionate life force and one that you can use to move forward, to get clarity and really own your wants, your needs, your desires, your happiness. So next time I'm going to do a deeper dive into the emotion of sadness and how that's related in a healthy way to claiming your happiness. So I look forward to you all joining me then and seeing you hearing from some of you at Comfy Chair Coaching. And that is it for today. Thank you so much for being patient with the technical difficulties. And thank you for joining me for today. It was so awesome seeing all of you on the call. I hope you guys all have an awesome rest of your day. Okie doke. Bye.